Give me a second to get my emotions back under wrap. Well, good morning. Hey, Mark. Where you at, Mark? There you are. Hey, did you know that Arkansas is the only state mentioned in the Bible? See, Noah looked out to Arkansas. Is that a good one? All right. Man, I'm excited. I'm a little emotional at the moment, but man, I'm excited to be here. Not nervous, not scared. It's just emotion because I just never would have in my life envisioned that I wouldn't get to do this but once, but twice, but now this is the third time that God has used me to stand behind this amazing pulpit and give you the Word of God. So, but I'm excited because today I get to speak about what God is doing in my life. And in preparing for this message, I did what all normal people do in preparing for something like this. I asked myself questions. One day I was sitting there and I just said, Mike, what is God doing in your life? And as all normal people who ask themselves questions, I answered myself. And I said, God is changing everything. He's changing my desires. He's changing my actions. He's changing my family. He's changing my jobs. He's changing my finances. I mean, he is just changing everything. I don't think there's a part of my life that God has not involved himself in or just come along beside me and help me through that. And I was like, well, that's really good. So I'm going to ask myself another question. How did God change everything? My answer is this, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to explain to you how God changed my life. Be turning in your Bible to Matthew 5, 14 through 16 is where we'll be reading today. I love this verse. You want to talk about a verse that can change your life and a verse that can give you purpose? Well, here it is. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it underneath a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all that is in the house. Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. My message this morning is really simple because I'm a simple man. I pray that through this message and through this word that God uses me in a mighty way to show you my light. I pray that he shows you the baskets that I dealt with in my life. I pray that you get to see what God is doing in my life. And as always, I pray that God is honored and glorified in everything said and done in this room. So will you pray with me? Let's try and get going. Father God, I just come to you this morning, Father. Just like in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Father, that is my life, God. And I just thank you for those words, Father. I just thank you for what it means to me. Father, I just pray this morning that I decrease, God, that you increase, Father, that I can stand behind this pulpit, Father, and just speak with a confidence, God, and just speak with a sense of boldness, Father. Father, I just pray that you just take over the weak, timid man that is in front of you. Father, just let your word be spoken on high, God. Let your message be simple. May it just pierce through the heart of whoever's sitting in this room, Father, that does not know you. Father, may they begin to look at me in a way that if God can use him, Father, that he can use me as well. God, I love you. God, I just thank you for these opportunities. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I just pray that those that don't know you, God, that they can find you. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus and amen. Now, Matthew 5:14, that's kind of like my walking verse. A walking verse. Let me kind of explain that to you. If a verse had legs and could walk, Matthew 5:14 would be right beside me. It would be walking with me. It would be doing everything. I try to live by this verse, you know, daily. I try to live by this verse hourly. I try to live by this verse to the moment. But I struggle because I don't always feel like the light of the world. I even don't feel like the light in my own home sometimes. I struggle with that. But God says basically in verse 15, you know, I start to do this really foolish thing. He says that, nor do people light a lamp and then put it underneath a basket. See, you know, normal people, we don't walk into our house at nighttime and just take the light bulbs out of our lamps and out of the fans and stuff. We need that light to see. We need that light to do things. We need that light to even function. But when it comes to our faith, for some reason, we take this amazing light that God has put inside of us and we start to put these baskets over it. See, we start to cover the light that's inside of us that's shining directly toward God. We put baskets over it in the form of we remain quiet when we should speak. We go along with the crowd when we should really be set apart. We can't explain what's going on in our lives, so we don't think anybody else is dealing with the same things that we are. We ignore the needs of others when we should be having a heart of a servant. And we allow sin to control us instead of God. So this morning, that's kind of what I want to do. I want to look at each one of those baskets individually and explain them and try and give us answers to where we can destroy them. It's an easy way to put it. So the first basket I want us to look at, the first basket that we place over our light is being quiet when we should speak. They can't hear if we don't preach. So what is our greatest fear? See, most of us in this room, we have glossophobia. Did you know that the average person puts glossophobia above death in the fear chart? Glossophobia is the fear of public speaking. We don't want to sound silly. We don't want to sound stupid. We don't want to be uncomfortable. So we just sit there and we remain quiet when God is telling us to speak. We must speak about what God is doing in our lives. You know, most people in here have no problem telling you about the Dallas Cowboys or what Donald Trump has done. And they'll even tell you that even when you don't want to hear it for 11 hours in a van. But give them an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ and what he's done in their life, and they immediately just go down. You get excuses. You get silence. You get baskets. We must speak about what God is doing in our lives. And I didn't even say that right. I said that kind of timid, right? We must speak about what God is doing in our lives. Amen. We must speak with confidence because God is with us. You know, I was teaching in a living room a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting there, and a guy asked me, he said, Mike, where do you get your confidence from? Let me go ahead and tell you. I about fell out of my chair. Because never, and I mean never in my life would I thought somebody would look at me and say, oh, wow, this man speaks with confidence. But I answered him with the only way I knew, the only word that came to my mind when he said that, and I said, God. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can mere man do to me? I will not fear. Maybe we are looking at this wrong. Maybe glossophobia is not one of our greatest fears. Maybe this is our greatest fear. Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, handsome, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Amen. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some, but it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically will liberate others. This is our greatest fear. That's by Miss Marianne Williamson. So, Mike, what is God doing in your life? Well, see, He's placing me in moments to shout and glorify His name. Because I will not be quiet. Amen, Darren. See, God is good. We serve a big God. How big, Doug? He real big. How big, Libby? He real big. Amen. Second basket we place over our light is going along with the crowd. Back in Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others." Let your light shine before others. Question. When you are with said others, is there something different about you? Is your light able to shine, or are you just going along with the crowd? Jefferson Bethke writes, "They can't fix their problems, so they try to mask it, not realizing that's just like spraying perfume on a casket. Let's dress up the outside and make things look nice and neat." It's funny, that's what they do to mummies as their corpse rots underneath. Now, I ain't judging. I'm just saying, be careful of putting on a fake look, because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by that section on your Facebook. See, if we're going along with this crowd, we look just like the world. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'll let Scripture talk for me when it comes to describing this world. Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." There must be something wrong with the customs of this world if it says here in Scripture, "Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world." In 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires." And here's one of those buts, Nate. "But whoever does the will of God abides in him forever." I told you earlier that God was changing everything. He was changing my desires. He's changing my passions. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and say that that was easy. I saw Joey walk in. Joey was with me when I was younger. He knows old Mike. A lot of you don't know old Mike. But God has taken that man, He's taken those desires, and He's taken those moments, and He's starting to change it and move it into something different. And I'm not going to say it was easy. I'm going to say it was tough. I'm going to say it was hard. But listen to John 16:33. Here we go one more time. "I have said these things that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world." See, Jesus does not go along with this world. In fact, it says He overcomes it. See, youth, church, and as Nate says, friends, there should be something different about each and every one of us sitting in this room. We should be celebrating our uniqueness because God has made us that way. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. And He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." I love that. We are God's masterpiece. We are uniquely made. Each one of us in here have this unique shape. Not like my shape, but I call it a unique shape. See, you have a unique spiritual gift that God has given you. You have a unique heart that God has placed inside your chest. You have a unique ability that you can do that no one else can. You have unique personalities, amen. And every one of us in here has a unique experience that we've went through in our life. So we are wonderfully unique. And if we're so uniquely made, then why do we just want to go along with the crowd? I'll tell you why. easy. It's comfortable. It's safe. So, let me be unique this morning. Mike, what is God doing in your life? See, God has set me apart. God has given me opportunity after opportunity to go against the crowd. See, God looks at me and he says, shine, brother, shine. And that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. And I say amen to that. Third basket we place over our light. Not explaining your lights to others. They can't believe if they don't hear. Verse 16, Matthew 5, 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I want to focus on that so that they may see. I'll give you a newsflash. You ready? People are watching. Has anybody in this room ever been asked, you know, there's something different about you. What is it? And my sister, and I hope this is okay to share, my sister was going through a tough time a few years ago. And one night we were just sitting there talking. And she said, I want what you and Darren have. There was this sense of peace about us as we were just sitting there listening to her. And she noticed it. And she wanted to know why we were like that. We could have sat there, we could have said nothing and just been in the moment, but no. See, we explained our light to her. We explained to her what God is doing in our lives and what God can do in her life. Because sometimes you will be the only Bible that someone will read. You must explain to people what God is doing in your life. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to understand everything you read in the Bible. To tell people what's going on in your life. Matter of fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:3, I love this scripture. It says, and I was with you in weakness. This is Paul saying this. And in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm Southtown Simple. Paul says, yes, brothers and sisters, I came to you scared. But I have to tell you what God is doing in my life. Because by explaining your light to others, you are pointing to the source of your light. Our goal should never be to bring attention to or recognition of ourselves, but it to bring honor and glory to God the Father. So Mike, what is God doing in your life? That's the easiest one to answer. He's using little old me, weak, timid, scared sometimes. He's leading me to allowing me to lead people to Christ. I got a call from Wendy to go to the Christmas parade that day. I didn't know what was going on. I just went into this room and I got to sit there and speak with all these amazing people. God used me to lead two people to the Lord in that room that day. Me, the guy that wasn't planning, that didn't have the prepared speech or what was going on. But God just put me in a position where he said, I want to use you. There is no greater calling in this world. Fourth basket we place over our light. Ignoring the needs of others. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I want to focus on the good works. See, these good works are not self-centered, but they are God-centered. See, we live in a society that is all about me and what can I get. You know, I watched Little Asa when my nephew Sawyer comes over, and Asa's like, mine, 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 mine. Everything is his. I don't think he has enough arms to hold all the stuff he's trying to keep Sawyer from playing with. But he just constantly just chants, mine, mine, mine. You let Asa go over to Sawyer's house, and it's like Sawyer remembers it, and he goes, mine, 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 mine. And he grows arms too. Because that's just the design of this world. Me, mine, my desires, my comfort. What can I get out of this? What's in this for me? Church, we have to understand that we were put on this earth to serve something greater than ourselves. We are not saved by service, but we are saved for service. There is no better example of someone who did not ignore the needs of others, rather than ignore the needs of others, than our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 20, 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. You know, that verse is so important. It's repeated in Mark 10, 45 verbatim, and I'll read it again. For even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. 2 Philippians 6, 8 says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ emptied himself. Jesus Christ gave. Jesus Christ served. Jesus Christ humbled himself. Therefore, one of the best ways we can demonstrate our love for God is by showing love for our fellow man and not ignoring the needs of others. We demonstrate our love for others by helping them in times of need, by sharing in their struggles and doing whatever we can, whenever we can. I like this saying by John Wesley. It says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. John 13, 34 should be underlined in your Bible. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The best way we can demonstrate our love for God is by showing the fellow man that we love them and not ignoring their needs. So, Mike, what is God doing in your life? Well, I'm up here. I'm here standing, and I'm here saying, here I am, God. Use me. Whenever, wherever. My card is on the table. Let's go to work. Final basket we place over our life. Letting our sin dim our light. I saved this one for last because this was, and in some ways, the biggest basket in my own life. And before you can be a light to others, you must take a look at your own life. Has sin dulled the evidence of Christ in you? Because, well, if so, maybe it's time to stop. Take a moment and ask God to reveal any sins that you might be ignoring. If there's a sin that you repeatedly struggle with, write it down and pray over it continually. Ask God for his forgiveness and help in changing your heart. You know, I've come to this realization that every time I give everything to God and I'm put in these amazing events, whether it's at a youth event or on a mission trip or in a jail ministry, I know beyond a shadow of my doubt that the devil is coming after me harder than ever. Because, see, if we allow that sin to control us, God cannot. There is this constant war inside of me, and I'm going to say that. Because Paul actually writes about it, the warrens that's inside of him in Romans. And every time I read this scripture, every time I study on it, I try and place myself sitting right beside him because I can feel every emotion that he's writing about. Romans 7:15 says, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do not do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." I mean, we're talking about Paul here. Can you actually hear him struggling? Can you hear him writing this? And he's just, it's so hard on him. And then he's going on to say down in 24, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" This war is taking a toll on Paul and it's starting to cover him up. I mean, it's like you can almost feel the weight of that basket like that. And it's just starting to come over Paul and it's starting to put out his light. And then just as it's starting to get totally dark inside Paul, Paul yells out in verse 25, he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, Jesus and only Jesus will deliver us from our sin. We must rely on Jesus. So, Mike, what is God doing in your life? Well, I'll tell you. He picks me up. He dusts me off. He tells me that I'm His. And you know what I say back? I want to let go, but I won't let go. There are battles to fight by day and by night. For God in the right, and I will never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I'm sick, 'tis true, and worried and blue, and worn through and through. But I won't let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I will never yield. What, lie down on the field and surrender my shield? No. I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. May this be my song in legions of wrong. Oh God, keep me strong so that I'll never let go. Author unknown. Mike, what is God doing in your life? I'd rather show you. See, my family, we've been at this church for 5 years. And I've had a lot of moments and I've had a lot of experiences, good and bad, with a lot of people. And I don't have time to talk about them all. But let's say I take Ben, for example. I would make him stand up and say hi, but I ain't gonna make him do that. What is God doing in my life? Well, me and Ben, I feel like God's using me to mentor and lead that young man. We have our corner at Union University. It's called Mike and Ben's Cry Corner. Don't judge me. But we sat there one night with crowds of people going past us. And we were hugging and we were talking and we were praying and we were crying. And I felt like I was giving him everything I got. And now I watch Ben. Ben helps me in the middle school youth. And I'm watching him lead young men and young women and teach them and disciple them. He got asked to do the FCA at Dyersburg the other day, get up in front of a bunch of high school kids and speak. It's just amazing what God is doing in his life now. I actually envisioned Ben standing here one day. And I want to believe that if I had looked at Ben that night and not said and acknowledged him and just went on and put that basket over my life, maybe Ben wouldn't be where he's at right now. I don't know. We serve a big God, and he probably would have been where he's at. But God still used me. Oh, Carly. Carly stood right there one day. It was about a year ago. And Carly said, "I finally understand what Mr. Mike is talking about letting go and letting God. With a guy that works with youth, you don't understand how much I needed that." But she got it. I'll just stay on the line. Emily, standing in the lunchroom at Union University one day in the line, and this little bitty girl comes running up to me, and her eyes are as big as she is tall. And she's like, blah, 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 blah. And I go, what's that? Mark asked me to do this, and I was like this, and I said this, and I did it. And later that night, she stood in front of 200 people and kind of gave her testimony at Fuge. And then after that, she came to me, and she said, Mr. Mike, thank you for what you do. Because I think she's, yep, I'll do it. Yep, I'll do it. So I think she's watching. I could stay in that section. Let me get out of that one. But hold on, I'll come back. Led my sister to the Lord. Baptized my sister. My mother got baptized. I led my grandmother to the Lord hours before the Lord took her home. Emily Nix. Casey Caldwell. We got to go to Ethiopia. I got to stand in front of 150 to 200 little bitty kids that they knew three phrases when we left. I love America, candy, and hoorah. Because every time I get up there and they asked me to teach or preach one night, and I was like, I really said no and shook my head no. But I got up there and I did it anyways, and I had a translator beside me, and I can't remember what he said. I was trying to remember. But I would say something and he would translate. But every time the kids heard something awesome, they would chant, hoorah. And so I would say, God is good. And he would, hoorah. And it was just like, whoa. But God used me for that. There's a lot of you. I could go stories all day long about angels in this room. Doug Weed. A lot of people don't know what we do on Monday nights, Doug. God uses a man that's never been locked up, that's never been in a jail cell. But for some reason, he carries me in week after week into this room with eight other men, or 10 sometimes, that I get to look at them and I say, hey, brother, in 8 weeks, you're going to hug my neck and tell me you love me. You should hear what we hear. This dude's crazy. Doug, takes forever to get out of that room after 8 weeks, doesn't it? It's something about watching a man who's supposedly judged by the world, watching as he's sitting in this baptistry with tears streaming down his face as well as mine, but watching him go underneath the water and then watching him come out. It's images in my mind I never want to forget. Mike, what is God doing in your life? What is God not doing in my life? If he can use somebody like me, oh man, my emotions are running because I don't think nobody in here really understands why I'm so emotional over this. Y'all probably think I'm a big sissy, but I'm not. I have emotion over this because, man, I can't grab a hold of how God can use me and how God can use me to change lives all the way across this room. Now, I didn't share in these moments or these experiences to shine the light on me, but I shared these moments for the light to shine through me, to honor God, to glorify God. See, I would not have experienced any of these moments if I had remained quiet. I would not have experienced any of these moments if I had went along with the crowd. I would not have experienced any of this if I wouldn't tell people what's going on in my own life. I wouldn't experience any of this if I had ignored the needs of others. And I definitely wouldn't have experienced this if I allowed my sin to control me. I'm sure I was standing there like Emily at every moment, just shaking my head no and saying yes. So in closing, and I know it's getting close to Easter, and I'm not trying to make you go and tear up your baskets, but I'm just wanting, and just everything in me, to just show you what God can do with you if you'll take that basket and throw it away. Hope that was accomplished. I hope you got to see a light inside of me. I hope you got to see what God's doing in my life. I hope you got to see the baskets that I battle in my own life. And I pray that through whatever I've said today, I pray that you can honor and glorify God in your own life. But now I got to ask a question. What is God doing in your life? You need to ask yourself that question. Because when I got told this is what I get to preach on, he was like, you know, you're going to preach in a few weeks, and you just tell people what God's doing in your life. And I was like, bet. I can do this one. Baskets, lesson to learn. Baskets, they're removable. But the application is, are you letting your light shine? We serve a big God, folks. I'll say it one more time. We serve a big God. We serve a good God. And He wants to use everyone in this room. So why are we not being used by God? Matthew 5:14, I told you, you're the light of the world like a city on a hill that cannot be hid. Nor do people light a lamp and then place it under a basket. But it's to put on a stand to give light into the entire house. That's what saved my life. In a black Chevrolet truck at 4:30 in the morning driving to Nashville, Tennessee to go to work. Listening to the Newsboys, I was born again. As I'm bawling and driving down the road, God saved my life. Thank God. Let me pray. Father God, I just come to you, God, in just amazement, God. Father, I just come to you in awe. You are a big God. Father, I just pray that if there's somebody in this room, God, that does not know what I'm talking about, Father, that they don't understand the light that I'm speaking about. Father, my prayer is that they search me out. Because I will listen to them, Father. I will tell them what you're doing in my life, God. Father, I pray that a beacon of light will just explode into the sky from Mount Vernon, God. I pray that people will start to know who you are, God, and they'll start to realize their capabilities and what they can do in their life if we allow it to happen. See, God wants to. We're the ones that are not allowing it to go like that. So, Father, I pray for everybody in here, God. I pray for those that don't know you, Father. I pray that today's the day that they find you, Father. That today's the day that they finally see you for who you are. The big, amazing, awesome God of my life. Father, as always, I love you. And God, I will shout your name wherever you place me, Father. Father, let that be a prayer for everybody in this room as well. God, I pray that I decreased and that you increased. And God, that everybody saw you today. God, I love you. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. And most of all, I thank you for this moment of my life. And God, we just ask that you be a part of our lives, God, that you'll bring walls down, that you'll bring healing, God, that you'll bring just the love of your life into our hearts. God, just know that we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. It's in the amazing name of Jesus Christ we all pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us?